Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, the Packers will face the Indianapolis Colts at home at Lambeau Field on Sunday afternoon. Let's take a look at the Colts a little bit here. Since an 0-2 start, a team that has alternated wins and losses week by week, they find themselves at 3-5 at the halfway point, and I don't want to necessarily call them a desperate team coming into Lambeau, but in some ways they're playing for their season here. You fall to 3-6, it's going to be awfully hard to make the playoffs in the AFC, and this is a Colts team that desperately needs to win this game.
Yeah, I agree, Mike, and this is something too where the Colts have had opportunities. We were just talking during our pre-production meeting about the loss against Jacksonville and some of the opportunities they have had. You have to take care of business in your own division, and unfortunately for them, over the last 2 years, they haven't been able to do that, and that's ultimately what's led to, the Houston Texans last year sneaking in. So they are at kind of a little bit of a crossroads right now, trying to figure out, trying to protect Andrew Luck, trying to get that offense kind of clicking, and defensively, what exactly their identity is. So yeah, there's a lot of things they got to figure out, and certainly coming off of that game against Kansas City, where they kind of took it on the chin a little bit, from Nick Foles jumping in there. This is a big game for them to bounce back, and having to come to Lambeau Field is only going to make it more difficult.
Yeah, this is a Colts team that has played a lot of close games, last week against Kansas City notwithstanding, when, as you say, they kind of took their lumps there. But you look at statistically the scoring numbers, what really jumps out is that this team has played some barn burner type of fourth quarter games. They've scored 85 points in the fourth quarter in eight games. They've allowed 82 points in the fourth quarter in games. So scoring and allowing an average of 10 points every fourth quarter, that's a lot of up and down the field kind of stuff late in ball games. And, we'll see if that's how Sunday afternoon unfolds here in Green Bay.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, that's something they've been kind of accustomed to these last few weeks. And Andrew Luck trying to kind of get that offense moving and clicking. There's been a lot of things working against them in terms of, their personnel and exactly what they have going on there. But certainly when you do look at those fourth quarters, that's the biggest thing that stands out. I think the comment was from last week, former Packers linebacker Eric Walden, saying that, this loss wasn't on the coaches. You have to put this loss on us. Just a lot of disappointment inside that locker room and how they played, particularly in the final stretches of that game against Kansas City. So, like I said before, they're going to have to bounce back and they have to find a way to make this thing go. But certainly on the other sideline, you have a Packers team that's just as hungry coming off that one-point loss in Atlanta.
Yeah, the Packers looking to bounce back from a frustrating and disappointing loss. A lot of promise coming out of that loss, as we've talked about for the past couple of days. But now we've talked a lot during the season about how the Packers have dug deep into the depth chart. They've gotten young guys a lot of experience, and that experience is going to pay off. It's game eight now. It's time for that experience to start paying off. It can't be just about that anymore. It has to be about turning it into victories.
Definitely. And I think if you go one day before that game against the Falcons, the Packers were pretty pleased with how their young guys have responded. And offensively, you can't really be displeased at all with what you saw, from those young receivers in that game, and especially a guy like Davante Adams really playing outside of his comfort zone. But in general now, specifically when you look at the defense, we'll see when Randall and Rollins are back. But otherwise, this team needs to come together on that side of the ball, because 3 weeks ago, that was one of the biggest strengths. I mean, everybody was talking about this defense and trying to make a run with this thing, and that being the really backbone of this team. Well, now you face some adversity. You have some questions there with injuries, and how do you come out of it? Thought Ladarius Gunter really responded well. Now we'll have to see if there's another guy that can kind of step up and really solidify that group until they start getting some help.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you mentioned Andrew Luck before, and I want to talk a little bit more in depth about him when we come back after a break. So we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, getting back to Andrew Luck, you're talking about an accomplished Pro Bowl quarterback, Has a, believe, a 96.2 passer rating this year, which is pretty impressive through eight games. Obviously, his team's record doesn't necessarily reflect that efficiency at 3-5. The biggest issue, which has been the issue for the last few years in Indianapolis, has been protecting Andrew Luck. He's been sacked 31 times in eight games this year, which puts him on pace to be sacked 62 times if you double that, if the same pace occurs through the second half of the season. That's just not something that that can sustain success for any team, no matter who your quarterback is.
No, Mike, it really can't. And this is one of those situations, too, where the two biggest issues that plagued the Colts last season, one were the turnovers. And in Luck, when he was healthy, turned over the ball too much. But it also was how often they were taking hits on the quarterback. He's really been able to turn around things in terms of the turnover. Still has three fumbles lost, but only five interceptions in those eight games. The one thing they've been not able to solve is the sack issue, the hits issue. Took six of them against Kansas City and a 3-4 scheme that I think you can make some parallels to with what the Packers run. And that's really the biggest thing, is that they're trying to tell him when he's scrambling, when he's doing those sort of things, be smarter. But when you're in the pocket, you're behind the line of scrimmage, there's only so much you can do. And they put a first-round pick, I believe, into Ryan Kelly at center. They've really tried to put some resources into that offensive front. But so far, again, Andrew Luck taking some hits.
Yeah, so is this the week that the Packers' pass rush sort of recovers and gets healthy, so to speak? We talked about how, maybe just one more sack against Matt Ryan in Atlanta would have been the difference, and maybe the Packers pull out that game. Ryan, a real savvy quarterback, obviously, in the pocket, but had plenty of time to throw, had that rhythm going and everything. This maybe is the opportunity for the Packers' pass rush to get back to what we saw maybe more in week two, week three, earlier in the year.
Yeah, and we'll have to see. I mean, obviously it's early in the week, and where Clay Matthews is at, if you get him back, certainly that adds another guy into that equation. But yeah, when you do look at this offensive front, it looks like on paper there are opportunities there. It's not as polished. It's not as veteran as what the Falcons had. I mean, that was the biggest thing that impressed me about the Falcons, just how much depth and how much years of experience they had.
Yeah.
It's a much different situation. I talked about Kelly at center, Joe Haig, the former left tackle over at North Dakota State, now the right tackle at Indianapolis, also a rookie. So there might be an opportunity there as well for Nick Perry. And different things you have to figure out here, but certainly when you get back to what has been the recipe for success for the Packers, it has been being able to not only get sacks, but get the pressures, get the hits, the tackles for losses, the negative yardage plays that allow you to get into those third and long situations and really have a chance to pin your ears back. So it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that's the biggest thing, is that they just weren't able to establish enough of that against the Falcons. You come back now in an opportunity against Luck in this offensive line. On paper, at least, it certainly appears to be there.
Yeah, and when you look at this Colts passing game, not exactly a Julio Jones situation like it was with the Falcons, but T.Y. Hilton, 709 receiving yards at the halfway point of the season for Indianapolis. That's more than twice as many receiving yards as any other pass catcher for right. Andrew Luck. And I don't know what the Packers' game plan is going to be. How much will they, bracket coverage, double cover T.Y. Hilton, but boy, you talk about a guy whose numbers kind of jump off the chart as far as the Colts team stat sheet. This is a guy you have to feel like if you can contain him in some way, that their offense will be hampered a little bit.
This is the one thing that's really surprised me about Hilton. When we looked at Julio Jones last week, he did have the 300-yard game. You can't dismiss that. But it was a lot of, I think out of those five or six performances, they all were like above 80, 90 yards. I mean, he was getting production consistently throughout. Hilton's been interesting because he's had some really explosive games. When you look at San Diego, 174 passing yards, Chicago, 171, 131 against Tennessee. But he's also had some where he's been really contained, and it's been against good defenses. Denver, 41 yards receiving, Kansas City, 20 yards, Houston, 49, Jacksonville, kept him to only 42. So it's kind of been this Jekyll and Hyde thing with him, in that he can really burn you and get yards, but there's also been chances and things where defenses have been able to contain him. So I'm curious to see if the Packers look at that Kansas City tape and figure out what happened there, because one catch for 20 yards, 30-14 victory for the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I don't think that's any coincidence.
Yeah, for sure. You hold a guy like Hilton to one catch in a ball game, and I would imagine it's going to be difficult for the Colts to score. You look at their running game. I don't like to use the phrase the old man, but in some ways it's kind of hard not to. Frank Gore, leading the way for Indianapolis on the ground. And this is a running back that Mike McCarthy worked with him back in 2005 back in San Francisco, and a running back that Mike McCarthy has a lot of respect for, really has spoken very highly of him over the years, a true professional, a great teammate. And boy, you give the guy credit at his age, at a position where normally you're not seeing that kind of production. This guy just keeps going and keeps getting it done.
Well, and how durable he's been throughout the course of his career. Now, I mean, basically every season outside of one, he's played in all but two games. The thing about Gore, though, is, I mean, at 33 years young, he's not a burner. He never really was, but he's a guy that does consistently move the chains for you. His longest carry of the year is 22 yards right now, but he's going to get 5-6 yards at a pretty good clip, and that's one of the things that I think when Indianapolis brought him in and decided that, you know what, this is the running back we're going to pair with Luck, you know what he can do in third down situations, you know he's a good pass protector, and he can move the chains and help keep Luck in favorable down and distance. That's the big key to his game, and I've been really impressed by how he's done it, because when you don't have like a 60-yard carry to still average 4.2 through the first half of the season, on pace again for what I believe to be his 9,000-yard season.
Yeah.
Those are things that don't happen by accident. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. You got to give Gore, now 12 years in the NFL, a lot of credit for what he's been able to accomplish.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to see just how he does against the Packers' run defense, which has, for the most part, been pretty darn good this year. But with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we'll take a quick look at the Indianapolis Colts defense. Much like the Falcons defense, the Packers just faced a struggling unit, especially against the pass, ranked near the bottom of the league in passing yards allowed. So you hope maybe that helps the Packers' passing offense stay healthy. And a unit that might be without its top cover cornerback in Vontae Davis, who has entered the concussion protocol after the Kansas City game for the Colts this past weekend. So what do you make of the Colts defense that they'll be bringing in here to Lambeau Field?
Well, this is going to be a big challenge for them, and I know we were just talking about some of the stories that are coming out of Indianapolis right now, and in terms of, you know, that from their perspective, you know, you're dealing with this defense that is dealing with some significant injuries to significant players, and now you're facing Aaron Rodgers, who suddenly looks really solid again and looks like he's been able to pull things back in terms of getting this offense back into rhythm. So that's a big challenge for them. 103.1 passer rating right now to opposing quarterbacks. I believe that puts them second or third towards the bottom, 30th to be more matter of fact, in the league right now. So that's a big challenge for them. And certainly when you look at Davis and what he gives them as a secondary, if he can't go, they're really going to have to pull together. But again, this is something that you and I have talked about. Every team in the league has something that they're dealing with, and this could be something too, much like what the Packers have had to go through with their cornerbacks. You just got to find a way.
Yeah, and when I look back, and I know it was 4 years ago, and obviously an AFC opponent, the Packers only play these teams once every 4 years, but when I think back to that game against Indianapolis in 2012, it was early in the season, it was at Indy, kind of became a tale of two halves and a quarterback battle where Aaron Rodgers owned the first half and Andrew Luck owned the second half, with Reggie Wayne having a huge game. Now, no more Reggie Wayne, but as we talked about, T.Y. Hilton is Andrew Luck's go-to guy. And even if the Packers get that passing offense going, if the Colts defense is struggling, I think, you know, this a quarterback like Andrew Luck, even with the problems they've had protecting him and whatnot, he's a quarterback. You can't count him out no matter what the score is.
No, definitely. I mean, they found themselves in a battle with these type of quarterbacks before. You think back to Phillip Rivers last year, even though the Packers were able to get the lead that they did.
Yeah.
Rivers being able to still try to find a way. Same thing 2 years ago when Matt Ryan was here and they got into that late shootout in the second half. But the thing that does stand out to me, though, when you look specifically at Indianapolis' defense right now, a league-low 2 interceptions against one of the quarterbacks in the NFL who does the best job of protecting the football. I think this really, I mean, every week is about turnovers. I'm not saying anything that isn't obvious.
Right.
But when you look at how the defense is structured for the Packers, and Dom Capers talked about it when he came to the podium on Monday, he wants more turnovers. He needs this defense to get more interceptions. They've had opportunities. They need to capitalize. Well, the kind of formula and the sort of diagram and method that's been happening in Indianapolis, this lends itself to thinking that, okay, there should be opportunities there. You have to capitalize on them. Meanwhile, the Packers can't give the Colts any chances because this has been a defense that's had a difficult time already trying to take the ball away. And Rodgers, specifically, once again, has done a really exceptional job of being able to take care of it these last few weeks.
Yeah, and not just Dom Capers. Mike McCarthy also continues to talk about the fact that Packers are about to the halfway point of the season here, and they're still minus two for the season in turnover ratio, and that is so antithetical to a McCarthy coach team. They've always, you know, 9 seasons out of 10 or something like that, I think it has been on the positive side in turnover ratio for the overall season. This being at minus two at this stage really kind of sticks in McCarthy's craw. He wants to get this thing fixed, and maybe, just maybe, you know, playing this home game against a struggling Indianapolis team before you hit the 3-game road stretch, maybe this is the game where you try to flip that turnover ratio around.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the Packers in terms of winning your home games, this is the one they got to get back after what happened, you know, against Dallas last month. The one thing I will say, and Capers hasn't talked about this at all, and I don't know the exact statistics, but interceptions in general have been down this year. I mean, the Packers, even though they want more, are still tied for 17th right now in the league with 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kansas City is the only team that's over double digits right now. So it's been difficult. Quarterbacks are protecting the football. It's becoming more prevalent in this league. But still, when you do get your chances, the Packers had 2 of them, 2 prime opportunities against Atlanta.
No question. Couldn't get it back.
Yep. So now going up against Indianapolis, that's going to be a big point of emphasis. One more thing I want to throw in, Spoff, too. Eric Walden, we'll be seeing him again. I mentioned him in the first segment.
Yeah.
A team-high 6 sacks right now for the Colts. Off to the best start of his career. 31 years old now. Former player on that Super Bowl team. Kind of interesting to see how his career's unfolded.
Yeah, he's kind of the playmaker for them in their front 7,
yeah,
at least so far this year. And when you talk about playmakers, the Packers are looking for somebody to become that takeaway, that ball hawk type of guy to get the ball back on defense in the secondary. So we'll see if maybe that turns around on Sunday. But before we throw it to a break, we'll take care of some sponsor business. Wes, at home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz, and Wes, final segment here. And some news breaking in the NFC North while we were in the midst of taping this episode, in fact. Coming off the Monday night loss in Chicago, Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner resigns, Pat Shurmur to take over the reins with Minnesota's offense. And curious timing, perhaps difficult timing for Minnesota with this. They're on a short week coming off of a Monday night game. They have another division game at home coming up against Detroit. This is an interesting scenario here developing with the team that is on top of the NFC North at the moment.
Well, and I mean, if we can, I don't think we have the technology right now, but to put up like literally what I said yesterday on this show in terms of everybody, no matter what the record are, what no matter what the record is, has something to figure out this time of year.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, I don't know the reason that'll go behind it. I'm sure that'll be discussed ad nauseum the rest of the week. But they're making a change. At 5-2, they're making a change. Now, the one thing that I think a lot of people pointed out right now, 31st in the league in offense, 2.7 yards per carry, having a difficult time without Adrian Peterson back there. And certainly with Sam Bradford the last few weeks, hasn't really been able to have that same success he had in the first few weeks. So Mike Zimmer's making a change, and it's something else to see. I mean, when you look at 7 games into a season, you've won 5 of them. That's certainly, I think, something that's kind of taken everybody by surprise.
Yeah, and this you look at what's going on with Minnesota. the evolution of this 2016 season for them on the offensive side of the ball has been quite the story. You lose Teddy Bridgewater. You've lost both of your starting offensive tackles, right and left side, to injuries. You've lost Adrian Peterson to an injury. And now, as you're nearing the halfway point of the season, you're making a change at offensive coordinator. It just goes to show, perhaps this being a bigger example than any other, that the way a team looks in August in training camp in the preseason is not what a team is going to look like in December. And in this case, for Minnesota, it's been constant changes in terms of the personnel and the look of their offense every week.
Yeah, the way a team looks 3 weeks ago sometimes isn't the same as how it looks now. And absolutely. I should caution myself there and say, I mean, obviously this is they said it was, you know, Norv Turner resigned, so you don't know what exactly went into that and what the conversations were like with Mike Zimmer. But certainly him stepping down is it's kind of alarming. And in terms of when you look at, you know, the past 2 weeks, I think they've only had 10 points in each of those games.
Right.
It's kind of been a grind, even when you go back to the Packers game. I mean, they won that 17-14. So that's kind of the way things have gone. But, yeah, you want to get Stephon Diggs going. Laquon Treadwell still has not made an impact yet offensively. Got to figure out what you have in your backfield. So I guess the one thing you could make a case for, you know, whatever the reasons were behind it, if you are going to make a change now, it does give you the second half of the season to get things figured out. But certainly, I don't think anybody was anticipating it. A lot of times when you're 5-2 and you have maybe some areas where it aren't really working the best, you have that window and that gap to find some answers.
Yeah, and especially with a division opponent coming up, we talked earlier this week that you're in a situation now, if the Lions can actually go into Minneapolis and win, and if the Packers beat the Colts, you've got the Vikings and the Packers at 5-3, and the Lions at 5-4, right on their heels, and it's game on for the NFC North title for the rest of the way. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.